election, that the electorate is angry. That seems to me so much more so on the Republican side than it is on the Democratic side.
Nathan Robinson, your response very quickly before we conclude.
Well, as you can see, the statistic that Professor Draper cited proves him wrong because everyone is upset. It doesn't matter that it's Republicans because everyone votes in the general election, right? So what you need is in a general election, you have to appeal to those people. That's who you need to appeal to in order to win. And those people Bernie Sanders can appeal to, but Hillary Clinton, who Professor Draper in his article calls the candidate of moral ambiguity, you can't, on a platform of moral ambiguity, get people to turn out to the polls. If turnout is low, you need to inspire people. Bernie Sanders inspires people. Hillary Clinton hemorrhages support all the time. Donald Trump builds support. Bernie Sanders builds support as he gets to know him. As people get to know Hillary Clinton, they trust her less and less.
We're going to have to leave it there. Nathan Robinson and Alan Draper, thanks so much for joining us. And Alan Draper, especially for going to Canada for this interview. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Thanks so much.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8 o'clock. Like the KBOO Community Radio Facebook page. When you find KBOO Community Radio on Facebook and like our page, you'll have events, ticket giveaways, and great information on our programming delivered directly to your personal feed. One out of every seven humans on the planet is on Facebook. So using Facebook to share KBOO with your friends and family has never been easier. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio with our host, Joanne Hardesty. Today's guest is S. Renee Mitchell and some students from Roosevelt High who experienced shopping while black at Nordstrom Rack.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Holistic Tracking, Engaging All Our Senses, an experiential weekend workshop taking place March 11th through 13th at the Cedar Ridge Retreat in Vernonia, Oregon. Holistic Tracking calls upon all senses, including the inner senses, to become a conscious part of the dynamic story of life on Earth. The workshop teaches effective observation, reading local tracks and signs to follow a trail, building stronger connections with wildlife and nature, and more. Again, that's Holistic Tracking, Engaging All Our Senses, a weekend workshop taking place March 11th through 13th at the Cedar Ridge Retreat in Vernonia, Oregon. A link to register and more information can be found at KBOO.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO at the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. This month, on Thursday, March 10th at 7 p.m., KBOO at the Clinton will show Salt of the Earth. Based on actual events, this film depicts a strike by Mexican-American mine workers in New Mexico. Against a backdrop of social injustice, a family drama is played out by a miner and his wife. Again, that's Salt of the Earth, Thursday, March 10th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Smoldering Fires, produced by Passenart. The play runs from March 11th through April 10th at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center in Portland. Smoldering Fires explores how to apply the ideas and struggles of the civil rights movement to contemporary city life through the point of view of two young friends with different temperament and approach. Again, that's Smoldering Fires, March 11th through April 10th at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, 5340 Northeast Interstate Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Get up, stand up for your right. Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. I know you are anticipating S. Renee Mitchell and the students from Roosevelt, and they will be here shortly. I want to start the program, though, by letting you know that there's a petition on change.org, and the petition is from Sheila Warren, who's the director of the Portland Parent Union. And the petition is a letter to our director of civil rights at the state civil rights division of the Department of Justice. And so I want to read the petition to you and then encourage you to go to change.org if you feel so inclined and sign on to the petition. So here's the story. I'm Sheila Warren, director of Portland Parent Union. I am asking all to sign this petition and react to our ask. We have a direct hit on a black female teenager who had racially bullying directed at her in school from a white girl. I think you know the rest of the story. The black female gets punished with suspension. Of course, a case where the white girl, the instigator, gets off and the black girl gets to participate in the juvenile justice system. Hurtful racial words are just as harmful as a blow, right? Is this a hate crime? We tried to counter-complain, but the police rejected that. Police claimed that these were teenage girls just being catty, right? However, the black girl was suspended, and the principal, vice principal were sympathetic of the girl, as well as the school resource officer. They were surprised at the black girl's reaction to the bullying because, as they said, it was not in her character. The black student is an upstanding, likable, engaged student who doesn't get involved with negative stuff. This black girl has been labeled as a criminal, and again, the student that started it got off. This is what it says in the court documents. Yes, the district attorney's office decided to criminalize this young black girl. She is being charged with assault in the fourth degree and harassment. According to the summons, the black girl subjected student Kiana Tallman to offensive physical contact. The deputy district attorney of Multnomah County, Whitney Button, a white woman, decided to go after this girl who is an upstanding student and didn't ask any questions. And so the petition is on, as I said, change.org. Right now it has about over 300 signatures. And the goal is really to make sure that we stop criminalizing kid behavior. I'm actually amazed that a fight in a school ends up with a young girl being arrested and then charged with fourth degree assault. I think that's what happens when, A, we have police in the schools, and B, that's what happens when we criminalize or assume that a certain population is criminal, period. And I believe that is what happened with this young girl. I hope that this petition has the impact that Sheila Warren hopes that it would have. And I would encourage you to go online, find the petition, sign it, send it to your friends. Make sure that we have that opportunity to make sure that this young girl finishes high school and doesn't have a felony conviction on her record before she actually receives her college, her high school diploma. Thank you so much for listening to that. And hopefully we can help this young girl stay in school rather than start having a criminal record while she's in high school because of taunts by other students. And of course, it makes me ask the question, where were the teachers? Where were the people that were supposed to intervene when this girl was being called the N-word on a regular basis by this particular student? And so, again, I am so appreciative of the work that Sheila Warren does with the Portland Parents Union. And I hope that she gets the results that we all hope for in this particular case.
Since I've got a little time before my guests arrive, I'm going to ask you, my listening audience. I am actually one of three people facilitating a community forum tonight for people who want to be the mayor of the city of Portland. And I've got some questions, certainly, that I want to ask them. But since I have a few moments, would you like to give me a call and tell me what your questions are? The number to call is 503-231-8187. I'm looking forward to being in a room talking about big issues in our community. I, as you know, I will be talking about police accountability. My partner, James Renault from the Mental Health Association of Portland, will be talking about addiction and mental health issues. And my friend and my strong ally and supporter, Israel Baer, will be there as well. And as you know, he is from Street Roots. So between the three of us, we will cover a magnitude of issues tonight. But I know that everybody doesn't get to get questions in to the mayor. So I'm going to give you that opportunity now. If you've got a question, give me a call and let me know what it is. What would you ask if you had an opportunity to meet with who may possibly be the next mayors of the city of Portland? I think that I would love to hear what your thoughts are on that topic. Again, the number to call is 503-231-8187. In addition to that, last night I had the privilege of participating in a community forum organized by Know Your City, Cameron Witten, and I had the pleasure of being on a panel with Adrian Cabrut with Black Lives Matters and Casey Jama with Center for Intercultural Organizing. And the discussion was about the Department of Justice locally targeting community members for investigation because of their use of the Black Lives Matters hashtag. And as you may remember, back in November, this came to light only because Juris Johnson, who is the civil rights director for the state attorney general. The only reason it came to light was because his name, he was one of the people who was being investigated because he had used that tagline. And so we had a wonderful full house last night at Billy Webb's Elks Club, and had a very good conversation. And of course, we don't know much yet because the Attorney General is still conducting her investigation. She has not completed that investigation as of yet. And so when that investigation has been completed, she will hopefully release it to the public. The public will review it, and then we will decide from there what the next steps will be. I think I may have people that have questions for our mayoral candidates. I'm going to go to the phone line. Hello, Deanna. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning. Hi, Deanna. Are you there? Hello, hello. I think we may have lost Deanna. Hello, Randy. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO. We may be having some technical... We're having some technical difficulties, so if you are calling us, then I do apologize for the fact that you're not able to get through. We will work on that. It looks like we're having some technical difficulties this morning. Oh, my. Oh, my. Hopefully, we will get the engineer to work on that. But the good news is that our program participants are here. I want to welcome Esvene Mitchell to the studio. Welcome. Good morning. It's a pleasure to have you here. And you know, I always have things to talk about, so I understand some mornings, 8 a.m. just doesn't work as well as it does other mornings. Especially with teenagers. But we have some handsome young men here in the studio with me, and I'm going to have each of them introduce themselves. Tell me your name and tell me what grade you're in. And I think I know what school you go to, but why don't you tell the audience that?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Devontae Presley, and I'm a senior, and I go to Roosevelt High School. Hey, everybody. I'm Nassan Edie. I go to Roosevelt. I'm a senior.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Antonio, and I go to Roosevelt, and I'm a senior as well.
Excellent, excellent. And I want to welcome you all to the studio. When you're speaking, just keep yourself about this far from the mic, okay? And then people will be able to hear you. And so, Renee, set the stage for us. Why you sent me an email, or I think we were having a conversation, and I went, what?
Devante and Antonio are students in my journalism class, and we're trying to always do projects that are relevant to their lives.
Right.
So these gentlemen had gone to a store downtown with Hassan and experienced some racial profiling that was, to me, very shocking, but unfortunately kind of typical. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to take this on as an issue. We're in the process of creating a video to raise awareness not only about their particular situation, but also this is happening to other students at Roosevelt, mm-hmm. particularly African-American students and also just minorities in general.
Right.
And so we're trying to make sure that we address this and find some solutions, whether it's a customer bill of rights or protest or something, but we're not going to just let this go.
Well, one of the things I love is, of course, because you have this writing program,
right.
Your first instinct is to let's write about it, right? And so which one of you gentlemen would like to actually tell us what the experience was?
Hassan.
All right. You've been designated.
All right.
Now you're gonna have to sit up and you know.
All right.
This is serious business, dude.
This is serious business.
All right. On February 20th, mm-hmm. 5 PM.
Right.
Me and my friends was going to Nordstrom Rack to buy some shoes. And before we even got to the store, the security's already like knew we was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was like, we got kids coming to steal, I believe. And as we walked in the store, mm-hmm. we was being followed.
Uh-huh. So you knew immediately when you got in the store that you were being followed?
We had a witness that told us they called before we even got in the store.
And she was a shopper that just happened to be outside and noticed that the loss prevention person uh-huh. on their walkie-talkie talking about these young men who are walking towards the
store.
So
there are three black boys walking towards young men.
Five or six, right?
Five or six? Okay. Continue, please. Sorry to interrupt. Continue.
As we was being followed, we got irritated, and then we asked the undercover, because he was pretending like he was on the phone, but he was really following us.
Right, right.
And then we was like, why are you following us? He said, y'all trespassing. Y'all have no right to be in here.
Ooh.
And he said we had to leave. And then we got in an argument with them, and then they called the cops. They came and then started questioning us, like, can we talk to you outside? And then we went outside. That's when they got the manager. And then the manager was like, you boys can't shop here. Some of y'all have to leave. And then we was talking there. It seemed like she was just trying to lie. Like, I didn't know my employees called the cops on y'all. I'm sorry, da da da. And we was like, we want something more than an apology, because right. y'all discriminated us.
Right.
Y'all humiliated us. We shopping.
Right.
As y'all could see, we bought something. We didn't come here to steal or nothing.
So wait, you had already made a purchase by the time?
Yeah.
You had this, that you were told to leave?
Yeah, when I was told to leave, I went to pay for my stuff.
Right.
And they was kicked out. They kicked us out. They kicked them out, who I was with.
Right.
And I went to pay myself.
Wow. And so... So the police came, you were having a conversation with the police, and mm-hmm. what happened with that?
It didn't go so well. We had this white witness that like pretty much protected us, because she know the laws, like she's right. older than us, she knows the justice system rules and all.
Right.
So she's it was from Seattle too.
Yeah.
So there was a white woman mm-hmm. shopping at Nordstrom's Rack that actually observed the whole thing, right?
Right.
And yeah. she stayed with you guys to make sure that you guys were gonna be okay.
Right.
What a phenomenal thank you to that woman. I don't know her. Do you know her name?
Yeah, her name is Danielle.
Danielle?
Danielle.
And she's part of the Black Lives Matter movement in Seattle.
Ah, wonderful, wonderful. Well, at least that's a bright spot in this horrible story. And so you actually still spent money in this place, yes, knowing that they were kicking out your friends, that they were assuming that you were there to steal, but you still gave them your money and paid for your stuff and left.
Right.
And how did it make you guys feel when, A, you walk into a store with money in your pocket about to buy something, and then somebody starts following you around? And was that the first time that it ever happened to you?
No.
It's happened to me before, but, like, I didn't really trip on it.
Mm. And did you just, like, you weren't totally aware of it, or you were aware, but you just ignored it?
At first, I wasn't even noticing it. They weren't mm-hmm. noticing it, but you can tell that people were like following us.
Uh-huh.
Like we turn a corner, there'd be somebody standing there and stuff, and like it's kind of embarrassing to see all these people in the store stare at us while we're getting, yeah.
Right.
And I'd like you to mention that when you talked about it at the class, coming down the escalator and seeing the three police officers waiting for you with these mean looks on their faces. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so like after they called the police, we got on the escalator to go down to buy the shoes.
Right.
And when we're on our way down, we see like three police officers just standing at the bottom of the escalator just with the normal face like they're gonna do their job.
Right.
And to be honest, without that lady there, something could have happened.
Yeah. Well, you could have been arrested, yeah, even though you
even
were
more
paying money, right?
Yeah.
Thank goodness that woman was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you make of this? Now that this was February 20th?
Yeah.
Right? So it's been a few weeks ago. As you reflect back on it now, what do you make of the situation?
We just trying to make the most of the situation with Miss Renee and mm-hmm. like raise awareness with the little video we're doing right now. So mm-hmm. like we're just trying to sink everything in, just looking for the next step.
Right. And tell me about the video that you're making.
We're doing this little video with our class in the journalism class, and we're doing we're trying to raise awareness. So we're interviewing like all the kids around, asking them their experience with racial profiling and being in stores and whatnot, and how did they feel.
Right.
So we're just in the works with that right now.
Wonderful. And you know, so I mean, it's just appalling. I mean, I still feel like I get followed around in the store, and I'm pretty sure that that's true sometimes when I'm in, especially like in Nordstrom's or not some high-end store.
Macy's.
You always feel like, yeah, you always feel like it's somebody's like looking over your shoulder or something. So how do you think you can help make sure that other young Black men don't share that experience?
So what we're doing is like if we just let this go, mm-hmm. just an apology is not going to help. They're going right. to keep doing it and doing it and doing over it again.
That's right.
So like if we do something in action for what they did mm-hmm. and hit them hard,
right.
then they're not going to want to pay this or do this for other people, you know?
That's right. That's absolutely right. And so you talked about this in class.
Yes. And so we were researching the issue and found out that there, you know, this has been happening all over the country.
Right.
There was actually last year, Greg Cifori, the attorney, had taken a couple cases to court because of racial profiling
That's
in
right.
the stores. There were at least six lawsuits against various retail shops here in Portland.
And restaurants, I remember, right? There were
Absolutely.
A few restaurants
and,
in there, yes.
And we also researched how this issue led to a customer bill of rights with mm-hmm. Barney's and Macy's and a number of stores in New York who acknowledged that this was happening mm-hmm. and that there were actually employees who had filed lawsuits who were told you were specifically supposed to go and look for young Black men or you look for Black people in general.
Right.
And so they had sued because they were forced to racially profile. And so we believe that some of the things that happened in New York as far as raising the issue and putting things in place to help stop this, such as a customer bill of rights, can also happen here in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
We're also, Danielle, the woman that was there, had started posting on Twitter, and we're thinking about a social media campaign with a hashtag to try to raise awareness and also collect information about other people's experiences mm-hmm. to kind of put some context that this isn't an unusual thing, unfortunately.
Right.
And because I'm a mother of teenage boys,
right.
I'm grateful for Danielle for being there. And not only did she advocate for them, but apparently felt so strongly that she gave them a ride home.
Wonderful, wonderful.
From downtown to North Portland. Yeah.
Wow. She got us all.
Is more to that.
Yeah, we all created a Twitter account and sent some tweets at Nordstrom and stuff until they replied. And I actually got one to reply. They sent me the number. The lady called me and left a voicemail saying that call her back at this number.
Right.
But I called her back and they didn't answer. It was the whole store, the main store number.
Right.
And it was down in like Utah or something like that. But they said that lady that you called never, like she barely comes in. So,
whoa.
Like they're trying to avoid us.
So of course. And especially they think you're young, right?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do, right?
Yeah.
But what I love is the power of youth, right? Mm-hmm. You can actually change this and make it so that the next time seniors from Roosevelt go in, they get a welcome rather than a escort, probably. Right, around the store. And if any of you had this experience before?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? And in stores or with the police or what?
I had some problems with some security guards at some of the malls.
Mm-hmm. At some of the malls. Because I know at Lloyd Center, as soon as they see, if they see three or four black kids together, whether it's girls or boys, you can see immediately that the security guards are following them around to see what they're doing. How about you guys?
Yeah, it's pretty common for me. Like, I usually always go to the Lloyd Center and, like, go into stores like Macy's mm-hmm. and higher stores like that. You
right.
always, like, walking through and you'll see, like, loss prevention people walking by or something like that. It's easy to notice them, so, like, I'm always aware of that.
Right.
When
yeah, they're not as slick
store.
As they think they are they? I mean, because they stand out like sore thumbs
exactly.
when they're actually looking at something when they're not really looking at it, right? It stands out. And so I love the idea that rather than get mad and angry, that you've decided that you need to do something proactive, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to do something that's going to not only make you feel better about what happened to you, but it's going to help the people coming behind you from not having that experience. So what would be the best outcome from your efforts around holding Nordstrom's Rack accountable for that behavior?
Yeah,
I asked you guys too hard a question. It's too early in the morning to be asking these tough questions, right?
Yeah,
but my day's half over.
I was going to add to the story. Cause
okay. Oh, please.
It was like certain stuff they did to actually make me want to do more than get an apology from them.
Right, right. Like what?
After we left the store, it was like, it was across the street from Nordstrom Rack.
Right.
And the cops came by again. And they were just like looking at us, like waiting for us to leave.
Right.
Roaming the block.
Like, yeah, to get on the mat or get on the bus so they could harass us again. And then the white lady, Danielle, knew they was going to harass us to try and find something to prove themselves that we was wrong.
Wow.
She gave us a ride back to our neighborhood and she was like, y'all not safe. That's when I feel like I was, yeah, my life was threatened. That's when I was like, I need to do something about it. I can't.
Right.
Yeah, that's what made me want to sue them and all. Because
I don't blame you. I don't blame. That'd be my first thought. I want to get as much money out of them as possible. But you, but you know, I want to go back to Danielle because, my imagination just runs wild about what could have happened had this young white woman not been involved in Black Lives Matter, so had a heightened awareness, right, of what was happening to black men and boys in this country and girls in this country. She had a heightened awareness. So because of her heightened awareness, she did something that most people would not have done. Right. Most people would not have stood there to make sure that you five young men were safe. Right. But because of her awareness, she was able to put herself in that situation. And quite frankly, because she was a young white woman, she was able to talk to the police. Because I know had she been a black woman and not been me, the police would have told her she had to move along.
Right.
Right. And would not have allowed her to actually engage on your behalf. Right. I said, as long as it wasn't me, because they know me too well. So they wouldn't have actually told me to move along. But so it's frightening to think
That you can just be going about your day, just having a good day, hanging out with your friends, and within a matter of a split second, somebody can make an assessment about you, and you could potentially be facing criminal charges. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's frightening, what's most frightening, right? Because all of you are seniors, all of you are on track to go and do something great. But had Danielle not been there, you could have been another statistic. And how does that make you feel, that you were that close to being a statistic?
Kind of traumatizing.
I bet. Yeah. Because otherwise, right, it would have been your word against what? The loss prevention?
Audience.
And the police.
Audience.
Right? So that would have been bad. I'm going to hope that our phone lines are fixed, and I guess we'll find out soon. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. Hello, Ryan. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So, you know, Portland shows its whatever. I'm not going to say colors, because according to Portland, we only have one color here.
Right.
Yeah. So, listen, I want to tell you guys something. Congratulations on handling it and dealing with it with a peaceful outcome. And I probably have to credit you guys and not the police. So I'm sure they were looking for a gunfight there. But I want to say something. I'm just, you know, considered a white male in Portland here, and I'm in my 50s. So, and there's a lot of places in Portland I just will not walk into. And you know, because I mean, rude seems to be the bottom line for a lot of businesses here.
True.
And I won't walk into Nordstrom Rack again ever because of you guys. You know, I didn't frequent that place anyway, but I've bought a few pair of shoes. But I want to throw something out at you. When I have a problem with a store, and it's legitimate, you know, yeah. I mean, I'm not irrational. What I do is... I don't write letters. I usually call the store and look to resolve the issue. But when that doesn't work, I call the manufacturer of the product that I was going to buy.
Huh.
And what I tell them is, look, you know, I did not buy your product in that store because I was, you know, kept from buying it, or I didn't feel comfortable buying it. And, you know, I think at this point I'm a little sour on your product.
Mm-hmm.
And who's carrying it?
Mm-hmm.
You would not believe how many, like, 40% off certificates I've gotten for that and bought at other stores. So, you know, if you don't buy a pair of Nikes, or if you don't buy a pair of Adidas, you know, if you're up there looking for shoes, or even Ralph Lauren, and, you call that company and you say, look, your logo is not on my foot. They don't really care if you got them at a thrift store. The reason why they put that logo on your foot is because they want to sell more product.
That's right. It's the free advertisement.
Exactly. So when you tell them that I'm not going to buy your products anymore because I had a bad experience at Nordstrom, that repercussion is going to be a lot heavier.
Thank you for your call. I also think, though, that there's a need to train loss prevention specialists to actually look for criminal behavior rather than assuming that a skin color, a gender, an age is the model for people who steal. What I know to be true is that the people that steal most in retail environments are white middle-class women. And those are the ones that consistently are the highest number of people who are caught and convicted of doing retail theft. And so just to think because you see a group of young people automatically think theft, they need to be retrained. And so I appreciate what you said, sir, about, and I think that that would be fine in a regular situation of people just being rude, right? But when you have a policy of profiling people based on age or skin color or ethnicity or religion, that is not only illegal, it is unacceptable, right?
Oh, absolutely, and I agree, Joanne, I completely agree with you. I was just looking at repercussions for that environment.
Right, right. But I
would like to say something. You know, definitely, I understand those statistics because I've worked in retail about, you know, the middle-aged white women.
Mm-hmm.
And but the problem is a lot of these guys in the security and the loss prevention are actually, they have no better mentality and probably less of a mentality than our police officers. So I'll just leave that there.
Okay, you and me both. Gonna leave that alone. Have a great day. Because that'll take me down a chain I don't want to go today. We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Bill. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning. I just wanted to say, simply put, the part of the mentality in America is that the young black face is not the face that many businesses want to put forward as something that they invite into their place of business. And that's everywhere in this country. It's okay to be a black man that wears a brand, but often it's not okay to be the face of that brand with respect to being appreciated for giving someone your money.
Right.
Excuse me. I was just having a conversation with my mother, who is not ancient, and she was, really, she was just telling me she is of one of the generations, one of the last generations, who can tell you what it's like to have to go to a store and go to the back door to buy candy as a little girl.
Right.
And this was just a conversation we were having, and it just kind of brought something home, that we are not far removed from those same attitudes with respect to who we are as black people in America and who we are not. I think one of the biggest problems, though, that really needs to be addressed is the privatization of our public spaces. And unfortunately, malls are not seen as public spaces, but yet they are open to the public. So it opens it up for this discrimination to exist. So I guess the biggest issue is not giving up your fight.
Yes.
Even if you win, don't ever give up, because ultimately that's where we kind of drop the ball. That's where things continue to persist, is when we stop talking about them. And don't let anyone ever say that as a victim of what you've experienced that somehow you are overreacting,
mm-hmm.
because that's often how victims are approached to racial
right.
discrimination. Yeah,
right.
The victim themselves are being judged by the victimizer.
That's right.
And we wouldn't allow that to happen in a court of law, so why should it happen in this instance?
Absolutely.
So, guys, I encourage you to just understand that this is only the beginning of your journey in life. And I'm a 45-year-old educated black man, and I still deal with the same experience. And you'll probably hear it in my voice. I was in the store with my son recently, and a loss prevention officer followed us all around the store.
Mm.
And I lived in Portland for 20 years. I'm now in Central California,
right.
and I'm still dealing with the same issues.
Wow.
So all I can do is say that just continue your fight and make your voice heard.
Thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate it. Have a good day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. And so how does that make you feel when you realize this 40-something-year-old, well-educated black man is still having the exact same experience that you gentlemen experienced at Nordstrom's Rack?
Well, it just means that we got to keep fighting. And it's never ending unless we really put a stop to it.
That's right. That's right. And so I like the idea of the video. I heard this idea of a shopper's bill of rights. I love the fact that you are having this conversation in your writing class. And so hopefully you're writing about this experience and blogging about it and letting other people know. Because if not for that young white woman, and what was her name again?
Danielle.
If it wasn't for Danielle, and actually that's my message to people that are out in a listening audience listening to us, it's like each of us can do something when we see something like this happening. And thank goodness Danielle had the tools to be able to intervene to the point where she gave you a ride, because she was convinced that if she didn't, if you use public transportation, that you would encounter those officers again. And so I want to encourage the listening audience, take a page out of Danielle's playbook And when you see something that looks like this might be a problem for young folks who are just hanging out, having a good time, intervene, stay and watch. I tell people that all the time when police stop people in the community, that we have the right and should stop and bear witness to those stops so that everybody is safe, right? Because the more eyes that are watching what's happening, mm-hmm. the less likely someone will resort to violence. What do you tell your, do you have younger siblings?
Yeah.
And so what do you tell your younger siblings about your experience?
I'm not from here, so my siblings are in California.
Mm-hmm. And so have you talked to them about what happened to you?
No, not yet.
Not yet? How about you guys?
I don't have any younger siblings, but uh-huh. I have nieces and nephews, uh-huh. so they're still pretty young. They're not at that stage yet.
Right,
but
right.
I still would look out for them, though, tell them, give them a heads up and stuff right. like that. So.
Yeah, how would you prepare them? You said they're young now, so now it may be too soon,
too
right?
Soon, but.
But as they start becoming aware, how would you start having that conversation with them?
I would just tell them just to be more aware. Like when you're in certain situations, mm-hmm. whether just being in stores or just out in the public,
right.
just be more aware of your surroundings and people's always watching you no matter what. So. Right. Anything, everybody can see it, whatever you're doing.
That's right. I think that's really good advice. How about you?
I just be trying to teach him his rights and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I be telling him to read books so he know what he could do
right.
and what he cannot do. So, like, you got to know how to react to certain situations.
Right. Right, because your first instinct is to get mad, right?
Right.
Right, and to raise your voice and say, what are you doing,
and
right?
And cuss him out and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's your first instinct. But luckily, you gentlemen didn't follow that instinct, right?
Uh-uh.
Right? Because clearly, you've had good home training. And your folks wouldn't have allowed you to do what you were thinking about doing, right?
Right.
Right? Yep. But think about this. What if you had not had good home training, right? What if you really were still just a customer coming in with money in my pocket to buy a pair of tennis shoes, right? You'd have been cussing them out, right? Mm-hmm. They'd have called the police. They'd have handcuffed you. They'd have dragged you out of the store, right? You'd be in jail facing all sorts of charges,
for
right?
For no reason.
For no reason other yep. than the fact that they assumed that you were there to steal, right? For no reason other than that, right? And I can't tell you how many people may be sitting in our county jail, because I don't know if you saw the report that came out a couple of weeks ago that says if you're black in Multnomah County, you are 500 more times to be charged with a crime, you are 600 more times to be held in jail without bail, and you are 400 more times to go to the state penitentiary.
Wow.
If you're black. And that report was actually done. The Kettering Institute actually funded that report. So it was funded from an outside, very professionally well-managed organization. And guess what the sheriff's response was when they got that report? He fired the person who wrote the report.
Wow.
That was the response from the sheriff's office. So we're going to go back to the phone line. Natasha, good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning. Good morning. I just have a little thought here. First of all, I have to tell you, I'm an 80-year-old white woman, so I'm the opposite. I'm invisible.
Ah.
You know, so there's that side, too, that forgotten people. But anyway, what I was saying is there is a little strategy that might be helpful is if you see the fellows or the ladies following you around, you know, getting snoopy and pretending to, all you have to do is say, hey, hi, hey, come over here. I need you to help me. Can you help me pick out a pair of shoes here? And encourage them to identify and to feel more open and to actually, you know, maybe change their mind. You know, that if you talk to them like a human being to a human being, it's a possibility that somebody, a percentage, might pay attention. So
ma'am, so what you're saying is that we should put the responsibility on our youth to train adults to treat them.
If anybody can train anybody, that would be a good thing. It doesn't have to be a category. It's a human being to a human being.
Ma'am, I disagree. When you have weapons that can kill you,
I just meant inside the store.
Oh, right. Well, I mean,
so I don't mean talking like that to the cops or anything. That's not a point. But what I'm saying is to just allow them to understand and just to help you. You know, rather than be an adversary, just to be a communicating person.
So, ma'am, I think as an 80-year-old white woman, you may have never had the experience of being followed around the store.
Here's the thing. Okay. Not every 80-year-old white woman has a wonderful history.
Oh, no, I'm not suggesting that
and
you...
I have been places, okay, when I was young.
So. I believe you, but ma'am, answer my question. You did not answer my question.
Oh, no, I never have. No,
okay,
I never have. So
I rest my case.
No, all I'm saying is a little openness.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying, and to afford a human exchange from the heart. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we lived in a world that you could just show your open heart and everything would be fine? I think, unfortunately, that we would be setting kids up for dangerous situations by telling them, oh, just confront the guy that's following you around. Hey, how you doing? You want to help me shop? I don't think that would work. I am a 58-year-old black woman who still gets followed around in stores when I go shopping. And most of the time, I'm in heels, I'm dressed nice, but that doesn't impact them thinking, oh, black woman, big purse, must be here to shop, right? I mean, to steal.
Right.
And so I appreciate what the 80-year-old white woman said, but I just think that is not advice that I want to give to young black people. What I want to tell white people is please look out for our children, because it's everybody's, it's the community's children, right? And when you see a young person being abused in the store, you need to stop, pay attention, and intervene if at all possible. Mm-hmm. And the same is true when you see them interacting with the police. I don't think these simplistic responses like, oh, if you just smile at them and say hi, is actually going to fix what is systemic in our society, which is that racism is embedded in our society. We're from a society of white supremacists, and if you don't believe that, watch one of the debates that are going on right now for the presidency, right?
Right.
Back to the phone line. Hello, Julie. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm never done this before, but I wanted to call and offer some support for these young men and their project. And I've had a couple of instances at Nordstrom's that happened a few years ago and just bothered me so much. And I've talked about it a lot. But I think there's something interesting about it that bothered me, and I'm not sure how to bring it up, but I have siblings. I'm just a middle-aged white lady from the suburbs, and I'm shopping in Nordstrom's. I have siblings who are from India, and my brother, he appears to most people black. My sister appears Latina to most people here. So on separate occasions, I've shopped at Nordstrom's with them and had just terrible experiences of being harassed and followed and not allowed to shop. And I've gone back without them in the same department and been totally fine.
Hmm.
So the part I wanted to bring up, of course I rant and rave to all the white people I know trying to get awareness, but I'm just so pleased with the Black Lives Matter movement, and I'm so pleased to hear these young men getting a project together at school, because one thing that bothered me a lot is my siblings just shrugged their shoulders. At first, they were completely unaware that anything was going on.
Right.
And I had to point it out to them and say, this doesn't happen to me.
Right.
This never happens when I'm shopping by myself without you guys or with anyone else. And then my brother reluctantly admitted, yeah, this kind of thing happens all the time. He gets followed, he gets harassed, but he just, I think, felt that he has to just let it go.
Right.
And I know there's got to be some forum, some manner, some way for awareness, even for the people it's happening to be raised, but also to act on it and express it, because you really can't just get mad in the store and make a scene, or you are going to get arrested. And I think your point about the people around someone who's being harassed realizing that
it's taking place,
probably they're just getting harassed,
instead
of assuming that they actually did something. So anyway, I wanted to just offer, I don't know if that's an uncomfortable perspective, but I really like
that's real.
There you go.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your call. Yeah, the young medicine. Yeah, that's real. That's real.
I really like that they've got something they're trying to get going, and a YouTube video or a school project or something. I think that's really great, and keep going with it. Don't just let it drop. Just shrug it off.
Absolutely. And the YouTube may be one piece, but they may, there are all kind of opportunities to make this a learning moment, not just for Nordstrom's, but for other retailers in the area. And I think it's really important, especially since we're going to be getting into the summer months soon. School will be out. Kids will be out hanging out in the malls. And that's when it just gets crazy again. And so this is a great opportunity. The timing's perfect. And so thank you so much for your call.
Yeah. All righty. Thank you.
Have a great day.
So as a mother of black sons, I don't want to get too far from the issue, the issue of what Devontae had mentioned, how traumatizing that this is.
Yes.
Not only was it a risk for something
greater to happen,
with the law enforcement, but this is something that stays with them
and
affects our mental health. Yes. And I think that we need to just kind of be aware of that and figure out how to that plays a part in this continuing to happen to our young men.
Exactly. And then how do you build supports for yourself, right? Because it is, as you say, the fact that you're being re-traumatized over and over and over again, right? So just when you think you're over the last one, something else happens, and then it re-triggers that trauma all over again. And so what are you doing to keep yourself, like, whole? The video project may be one of it that actually helps you use that energy. But what else are you doing to actually protect yourself against? Because it's not just the stores, right? It is hard to be a young black man in America at any time, but certainly at this time that we're living in. So what are you doing to keep yourself safe and to keep yourself motivated and moving forward? And I'd like each of you to answer that. So who wants to go first?
I go. Now I try to read books and try to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I try to be aware of stuff more, because, like, after that happened, I missed a couple of school days. I ain't gonna lie. They had me stressed, like,
because
I really thought they had love for people, you feel me? Because I don't hate nobody. I got a genuine love for everybody. So it was like after that, like, really?
So that was the moment that you realized
that hurt me. I didn't know. And then I was home. I was thinking, like, wow, that actually just happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was skipping a couple of school days, and then my teacher caught up with me.
Right.
He heard the story that was being followed, and he was like, he offered me a couple of advice, and he gave me a few tips to, like, what to do next time when that happens.
Oh, good, good. How about you?
I think for, like, the support side of it, you know, just having your friends and families behind you, especially with Roosevelt and, like, your teachers and stuff that's willing to get involved and help you get your voice heard and stuff like that, I think that's grateful for me to have the opportunity to be on here talking about it and just getting it off my chest, because it is frustrating, you know, you're really mad, you want to do something, and, like, you know, what can you do, really?
And you feel like you don't have a lot of power in that situation, right?
Yeah, but it's really frustrating, though. Sometimes I feel like I really want to, like, punch somebody just for that situation.
Right. I can understand that. That's a normal emotion, right? And so hopefully the writing and the video and that stuff gives you another outlet, right? That's going to be a more productive outlet, right? And how about you, sir?
I'm going to stay safe. I do a lot of research on all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually, like, the first time I really encountered this. Like, it's kind of felt like a movie.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you're watching yourself.
Yeah, like,
from above or something.
It's like, wow, this is, like, really happening. Like, coming down that escalator,
mm-hmm.
I was like, whoa, like, we're in something big right now.
Oh. And I just can't imagine. So you're coming down the escalator, you see three burly Portland police officers at the end. You must be thinking to yourself, this is could not end good, right? This no. is not a good thing, right?
And Danielle came out the cuts. So I seen the whole thing.
Wonderful. Love me some Danielle.
She wasn't trying to have the police talk to us without her being there. She was like, yeah. You want to talk to them, you got to talk to me too.
Good
That's when
her.
I felt like, oh, yeah.
That's when you felt like, okay, we're going to be okay, right? Yeah.
I like to say thank you to her because, like, without her telling us what to do,
right.
we wouldn't be here today
right,
doing
right.
what we're doing right now.
That's right, yeah. right. And gosh, I mean, just the fear of just knowing what could have, how easily that situation could have gone out of control, right? Yeah. Even though you're there with your money in your pocket making the purchase. We got a couple of callers. We're going to try to squeak them in before the program is over. Tim, good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
First of all, I want to thank you for the show. And I want to tell you, you're one of my favorite people.
Oh, cut that out.
Continue. You are a really cool woman.
Oh, thank you. I'm blushing. Okay, enough of that.
Anyway.
What else you got?
I'm this old, mostly white dude. I used to be organizer when I was younger. And I just want you guys to know that there's a lot of people like Denise out there who are
Danielle.
White. There might be some way to, for what, I don't know, I live in Salem, and I'm not really hip on what's going on in Portland, right? But it, what does the Black Life Matters movement have, like, a contingent of, say, white people, or mostly white people, who could be called at a moment's notice and document things? And do they follow the police, like, through, what do they have, CB radios or... Some kind of radio where you could follow what they're doing and where they're going.
You know, you just gave me a really great idea. There's an organization called Surge, Standing Up for Racial Justice, that uh-huh. started after the Trayvon Martin was killed. And there's a Portland chapter that does an excellent job of actually working with white people to have conversations about race. In addition to that, they are very strong allies for communities of color. And so, like, I think having a conversation with Surge about how they could help with the Bill of Rights, or how they can help being allies while they're out shopping. Because I bet they don't think that they can actually be allies when they're out shopping. But you gave me a great idea. I think I will connect with them and share this story, have them listen to the recording of this program, and ask them if they would be willing to take that on as part of the work that they are currently doing. They're doing some fabulous work, but I think this might be another piece of the puzzle. You are a brilliant man. Thank you.
Hey, wait a minute. You just gave me another idea.
Okay.
Remember Reed College, how they used to have a big organizing training project every year?
Yes.
Okay. What about something like that, open to all the residents of the city, about racism, and bring in some good speakers, maybe some good movies, maybe some stuff from other countries like South Africa, how they resolved or try to resolve the problem.
Oh, yes, with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. You know,
and other countries, too. It makes it a real, like, fun thing, but mm-hmm. something that brings in whites, blacks, you know, all people.
Right.
And have discussions of racism going on all throughout.
Well, thank you for that. Actually, we had a little conversation very similar to that last night at Billy Webb's Elks Club around the Department of Justice Attorney General and office investigating people using the Black Lives tags. Black Lives Matters tag
hashtag.
Thank you. And it was a very good, and it ended up, of course, being a conversation about race and kind of the systemic racism that exists in our institutions. But I like your idea. I'll put that in my cap. Who knows what we'll do with it? But hey, I like your idea. Keep thinking. Keep sending us more ideas. Have a great day.
One last thing.
Okay, if you can do it.
The man who had mentioned that he has general love.
Yes.
People,
uh-huh.
I think that's what needs to happen for all of us.
Yes.
We could, the alternative is going to be disintegration and hate.
Amen to that. Thank you so much. Yes, we. That's absolutely right. I am rushing you because I am down to 1 minute, so we're going to have to go. My brother, have a great day. Thank you for your wonderful ideas. Let's get that last caller in. Hello, Joseph. Can you get your message out in 30 seconds or less?
I'll do it, Joanne. I do enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I respect you greatly, but I just want to say I think you were a little short on the 80-year-old woman. Here's why. If we want to change minds, we can't just sit people down and awareness classes that the company says you're going to be here. We actually have to have human interaction. And I think that if we change minds, it's going to have to be where we're not preaching to the choir, but we're actually talking to those folks.
Thank you. We're going to have to take off. And I want you to know that I don't think it's youth's job to teach adults how to behave. I'm Joanne Hardesty. It's been a pleasure to have you here. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. Thank you, Renee Mitchell.
Thank you for having us.
I feel so much better about our future knowing that you young men are going to be in charge. Have a great day.
Don't give up the fight. Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that glitter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
And good morning, KBOO Portland is your community radio station. A little bit sunny, a little bit rainy on your Thursday morning, but busy, busy on the radio. We're about an hour away from Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia. Then at 10:15, join us for Flashpoints, where today guest host Gavilan Molina speaks with Pablo Alvarado, the National Director for Endelon, about the case of Salvadoran migrant and Portlander Francisco Aguirre. He also speaks with activist and organizer Tony Diaz about the renewed attack against ethnic studies in Texas. At 11 today on Between the Covers, we hear an interview with Jan Martel on his new book, The High Mountains of Portugal. And at 11:30, Words and Pictures presents a conversation between Jean Yang, the National Ambassador for Young People's Literature, and award-winning Portland graphic novelist Craig Thompson, recorded at the 2013 Wordstock Literacy Festival. That is all coming up this morning, but first it is Press Watch for 1 hour.